You know, God, he has truly been good to us. And if you really want to tell the truth about it, God has been better to us than we have been to ourselves. And we just thank God for all of these wonderful blessings that he has showered down upon us. You know, James tells us in James 1:17, says, for every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So all of these things we are just grateful to God for. And I want to express my appreciation to Brother Earl Crocker.
Amen.
And the entire committee.
Yes, sir.
That's given me this privilege and this opportunity to share the unsearchable riches of God with you tonight.
Amen.
And every time I stand before my audience, I thank God that I have another opportunity to let them know what thus said the Lord.
All right.
Because I tell you, it's something that, you know, that I have to admit, and it's something that you have to admit. You know, the word of God was here. You say I got 30 minutes?
35.
Okay. You know the...
33 now.
33. All right. Brother Stressman, you the boss. You said 33, then we will stay at 33. But what I was about to say, I just truly thank God that, you know, that God has control over his word, number one. And number two, the word of God was here before Brother Murphy even arrived on the scene. How do you know, Brother Preacher? Simply because the Bible tells me so. All we got to do is turn over there according to the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. Let us begin with the first verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him.
That's it.
And without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So therefore, you know, regardless to what Brother Murphy might say, regardless to how I feel, the word of God still holds a priority over all of us. And when all is said and done, the word of God will be right here. How do you know, Brother Preacher? I know that simply because the Bible tells me so. Our only begotten Son lets us know over there in Matthew 24. Let us begin with the 35th verse. What are you talking about, Brother Murphy? Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not only that, but we should be happy and we should thank God that there's power in the word of God. How do you know, Brother Preacher? Simply because the Bible tells me so. Over there in Hebrews 4 and the verses 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What are you saying, Brother Murphy? I'm saying when everything is said and done, when the sun sets, when the sun rises in the east for the last time, and when the sun sets in the west for the last time, the word of God will still be there. It's not, you know what Brother Murphy said? It's not what Brother, my friend, Brother Crocker might say, or Brother Trust, or any of the elders or deacons here, but what's going to matter is what thus said the Lord. How do you know, Brother Preacher? Simply because the Bible tells me so. We can go over there, listen to old man Isaiah. Isaiah 55, 7, 8, and 9. The Bible says, for your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Now, my time hasn't started yet, Brother Crocker, so my time hasn't started, so don't you give Brother Trust the authority to pull my coattail right now. Tell him to just hold up and wait for a minute. I can talk this way to Brother Trust and Brother Crocker, because I've been knowing them forever.
Amen.
But what I want to say, you know, we can't go but the way that we feel, about anything, because the Bible tells us over there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21 says, prove all things.
Yes, sir.
And hold fast to that which is good. What are you saying, Brother Preacher? If you cannot prove it, then you shouldn't preach it. Now, you know we have preached this ever since A.D. 33.
Yes, sir.
Well, Brother Murphy, if you can't preach it, if you can't prove it, don't preach it.
Yes, sir.
You should be able to stand on God's word.
Amen, sir.
Guess I better get into my lesson here. I don't want to come all the way to Detroit and Brother Crocker and Brother Earl Trust fire me. I don't want to be fired.
Amen.
And I tell you, I truly appreciated the two previous speakers who came before I got up here. They were willing to follow the instruction. But now I like the fifth chapter. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, if Christ make you free, then you are free indeed. Like he said over there in John 8 and 31, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, now, if Christ says, if you know the truth, you shall be made free. That's the truth, because God said it. And we used to always have a slogan down at Southwestern Christian College that, if God said it, I believe it, and that sells. But you know what, Brother Crocker? It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not.
That's all right.
But really what matters is what did God say about it.
Yes, sir.
If God said it, I believe it, and it's settled.
Yes, sir.
It's been settled in heaven a long time ago, even before Brother Murphy became on the scene. Regardless to how much influence you might have or I might have, just like the story of husband and wife, they were in a heated debate one time, and the husband, he just really thought that he was going to get away, with saying any or everything to his wife. So they got to arguing there, and he told her, said, well, you're not a bag of chips and all of that yourself. And he said, now I want to tell you something, and I don't want you to forget this. I've been better to you than God. Say, how can you say that? I gave you some hair. But regardless, you know, I mean that you will get that tonight or tomorrow. But the husband just wanted her to know, I have truly done something for you. I did a lot for you. But now, you know, if you're really talking about who have done something for you, God has done more for us than we have done for ourselves. Okay, now the subject. I'm getting ready to preach a little bit now. That's right. That's right, Brother Sinclair. Now you back me up. You got my back? All right, and there's a couple of elders out there that I know they have my back. Because one of the elders worked closely with my son. And in order for him to stay in good with my son, he's got to stay in good with me. You know how that goes. You know how that goes.
But no, that's right.
But at any rate, I want to do this thing right. And I want to thank executive committee or the committee, lectureship committee, for giving me this privilege and this opportunity. And you know the subject that you assigned, that I was assigned to, no other gospel. And that's in Galatians 1 and 7, which is, the Bible says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, listen, this is Paul, one of the apostles speaking now, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And if you did not get it the first time, I'm going to go around again and said again, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, then let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I should seek to please men, I should not be the... Now listen to what Paul is saying. I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ, as a Pop Keeble used to say. Well, preach it when they pay you, Brother Crocker. Preach it when they don't pay you. Preach it when they talk about you. And preach it when they don't talk about you. Why do you say that, Pop Keeble? He says, for I did not receive it from man, neither was I taught it. Well, listen, Paul, I want to know, because I know you made 3 missionary journeys preaching Christ and him crucified. I know that you established more congregations than any other apostle. Now, you just got through saying that man did not give it to me, and that let me know that man cannot take it away from me. But I want to know, Paul, how did you come by this precious gospel? And he says, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I say to all of my co-workers and all of the gospel preachers, you preach it all the time, whether people like it or don't like it. You let them know this is part of your responsibility, and God has placed this responsibility up on you, just like he did the Apostle Paul. How do you know, Brother Murphy, that God placed this responsibility up on the Apostle Paul? Take your Bibles and let us turn over there to Romans, the 1st chapter, and let us begin. And let us begin with the 14th verse. What are you saying, brother preacher? Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. No other gospel. There is only one gospel for one church, and that's that unadulterated gospel. The facts about Jesus Christ and him being crucified. Now, when you talk about the gospel, you have to bring out the true facts about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul told some of his readers and some of his hearers, there are those that will pervert the gospel. That means that they are going to try to lead you away from the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know I love to eat, and I love that, barbecue, and I love turnip greens, and I love what we call that fat back. Now, some of you are too young for us to relate this to you, but now I love the gospel more than I do anything else, because I know that the gospel, there's salvation in the gospel. The gospel, the teachings of Christ and the apostles. Now, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, all of these gospels tell something about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you can put all four of them together, and you will have to come up with the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the true facts about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the English word gospel is derived from the Anglo-Saxon word God spells, which means good tidings and glad news. The gospel of God over there in Romans 1 and 1. The gospel of Christ, Mark 1 and 1. The gospel of the grace of God is also over there in the book of Acts 20 and 24. And the gospel of peace, we know this one in Ephesians 6 and 15. The gospel of your salvation, Ephesians 1 and 13. The gospel has to do with everything that surrounds Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Yeah, and the gospel is something that we, every one of us, we should support at all times.
Yes.
Because the gospel, there is salvation in the gospel.
Yes,
and whatever it costs us to make sure that men and women are exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should do it. Even if we have to eat pinto beans and neck bones for the next 6 weeks, we should do it in order to make sure that the gospel is exposed to each and every human being.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to stay within the ramifications of the orders that has been given to me, and we want you to take this lesson seriously. Now you know that the gospel entails the true facts about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we want to cherish from now on, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you remember when we were down south, some of you probably remember, this is one of the previous speakers mentioned about, you know, some of those ways that we had down south. You know, we would have what they call a big date. Now, I don't know whether y'all are, you know, acquainted with this terminology or not, but what we would call a big date is when we would have preaching on the ground and dinner on the table. When we would put the big pot in the little pot and we would add more water to the soup to make sure that everybody had enough to eat. Now that's just the way, I know you don't do that up here, but that's the way that we used to do when I was a boy down south, to make sure that everybody had enough food. When we would have these gospel campaigns and these gospel meetings that would last like 2 or 3 weeks. So I come back to say the gospel of Jesus Christ is precious to every one of us. And in order for us to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord, we should do whatever is necessary for us to protect the true facts,
yes,
about,
sir,
the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for your attention,
yes,
tonight,
sir.
And I want to thank the committee. I want to thank every one of you who have come out, who have taken time out from your busy schedule to come out and encourage myself along with other speakers. May God bless and keep you.
Amen. Well, let's give Brother Burford another big hand. All right.